the meeting of, go ahead. Can I go ahead?
Yes, that's fine, Dr. Malat.
Okay. This is a meeting of the Continuing Ed Review Committee of the Arizona Board of Ms. Paul, could you do the roll call, please?
Yes, Dr. Malat. Dr. Malat?
Yes?
Dr. Flowers?
Present.
Mr. Dinar?
Present.
We have a quorum.
I think everyone's gonna have to put themselves on mute, there's a lot of background noise.
I'm gonna have this camera work, Cass.
So are we still on?
I don't know, can you hear me?
Yes, Dr. Flowers, Dr. Malat, I believe, is, will be, she's working on the agenda for the Continuing Education Committee meeting.
Okay.
I'm in, I'm not, how does the Zoom work? I don't see everybody.
Ms. Shreve, we're doing the Continuing Education Committee mini meeting first for approval of minutes. Dr. Malat is working on that.
Dr. Malat, are you on mute? Because I see you talking and I can't hear you.
Oh, yeah. Okay, thank you, Kathy. I was on mute because there's so much of background noise, I put it on mute. And I put myself on mute. So when you use the audio in the computer, you can see the mute and turn it off. So anyway, but I'd like to go ahead and entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
I make the motion that the minutes be approved.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Dr. Flowers, Mr. Dinar. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion approved. Meeting minutes are approved. Move to adjourn. Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
I so move.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Meeting adjourned. Thank you.
Kristen?
Yes, Madam Shreve?
Are we waiting, or what are we doing now?
I believe we do have enough board members on the line that we can go ahead and start the meeting.
Okay, I'm trying to pull up my Zoom. Hold on.
I just admitted you.
Okay.
Do you have a video, Kenny?
I hope so. I'm using the state.
Oh, I see you now.
I'm up now.
Can you see me?
Yes, yes.
Okay. All right. The time now that I have is, it is 8:37. This is the meeting of the Board of Psychological Examiners. It is now 8:37, May 8th, 2020. I call the meeting Arizona Board of Psychological Examiners order. Can I ask everybody to please put their phone on mute, please? Thank you. This meeting is video hosted using the platform called Zoom. The public and parties of the agenda have been properly noticed of this fact and have been supplied with meeting access information. Please note that continuing education credits will not be granted for listening to this meeting. Ms. Poe, would you please call the roll?
Yes, Madam Shreve. Ms. Shreve?
Present.
Dr. Davis Wilson?
Present.
Dr. Flowers?
Present.
Dr. Bohansky?
Present.
Dr. Davey?
Present.
Mr. Dinar?
Present.
Mr. Gill?
Present.
Dr. Meyer?
Present.
Dr. Malott? Dr. Malott?
Present.
Thank you. We have a quorum.
Great. Thank you. Item number three, remarks and announcements. Please note that the time stated on the agenda are approximate. The board makes every effort to begin proceedings at the scheduled time. The board may suspend the discussion of one item and proceed to a timed item and then return to the former agenda item at a later date. And just before I begin, just a few housekeeping notes. If everybody could just put your phone on mute unless you are speaking. And also, we will be taking breaks as needed. So if you need a break, if one of the board members needs a break, please let me know. But we will be putting breaks in here, and then we'll discuss lunch as we get closer to that. In regards to board surveys, the board encourages everyone in attendance today to provide feedback, completing a board assessment form. Please contact staff for any survey forms. I'd like to give a big shout out and a thank you to all the board members. I know there has been many, many hours that have been put into preparing for this meeting. There's a lot of documents and for us to read, and especially during this time of national crisis, I know everyone has a lot going on. So thank you so much for preparing. I greatly appreciate your efforts and your time. And I also would like to echo that with the board staff and with our attorney, Dean Galvin, for their preparation for this meeting. It's a lot of work on everyone's part. Item number four on the agenda is a call to the public. Those wishing to address the board do not need to request permission in advance. However, the board may limit those persons speaking during this time to a reasonable number on the public comment matter. In addition, each person wishing to address the board will be given 3 minutes. Pursuant to ARS 38-43102H, the board can only take actions on matters that are listed on the agenda. Ms. Poe, please unmute the phone lines. If anyone wishes to make a statement during the call of the public, please let me know at this point.
All the callers are unmuted at this time.
All right, is anyone want to speak up? Hearing none, we'll move on to the next agenda item, which is agenda item number five, which is our council update. Ms. Galvin, do you have an update for the board?
Just very briefly, members of the board, the only matter that remains in Superior Court involves Dr. Denbor, and that was a case that he filed challenging the board's application of ARS 32-2081C. It went through the Superior Court and the Court of Appeals. The board was successful at each level. He has filed a notice of appeal with the Supreme Court, and we are awaiting their opening brief, and that's all I have. Thank you.
All right, thank you so much. Item number six is a consent agenda, discussion, consideration, and possible action. Are there any recusals from items on the consent agenda? Does any of the board members need to recuse themselves? Any board members request removing an item from the consent agenda for independent discussion or action? Hearing none. Is there a motion to approve the items on the consent agenda?
So moved. Dr. Bob,
you moved it. Who's seconding it?
I'll second it, Dr. Flowers.
Thank you, Dr. Flowers. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Are there any opposed? Hearing none, we'll move on to the next item, which is a timed item. So we have just a few minutes before that item. I want to quickly then move to item number 12, discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding Catherine O'Connell, PhD, audit material for 2015 and 17 continuing education credits. Ms. Poe, could you give a brief update?
Yes, Madam Chair and members of the board. At the April 3rd, 2020 board meeting, the board discussed the fact that Dr. O'Connell had not responded to the Continuing Education Committee's request to submit additional CE documentation. It was the consensus of the board to table the matter and authorize board staff to allow Dr. O'Connell an additional 30 days to comply with the request. Dr. O'Connell has submitted additional materials for board member review. Board staff is now requesting direction from the board on whether or not Dr. O'Connell meets the continuing education requirements for this audit. I do believe Dr. O'Connell was planning to call in. I'm not sure if she is on the phone. But
I am. I'm here.
Thank you, Dr. O'Connell. That does conclude my summary of the case.
Ms. Poe, didn't you mention that did Dr. Malott review the documentation and did somebody confirm that it meets, that they had looked at it already?
Dr. Malott, I believe you reviewed the information, the CE documentation a couple weeks ago, correct?
Dr. Malott, you're on mute.
Yes, correct. I did review the documents a couple of weeks ago.
Did it meet our standards?
I believe it did. I responded to Ms. Poe.
Okay. Are there any questions for Dr. O'Connell from the board? Hearing one, is there a motion or is there a discussion?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Flowers? Yes, I reviewed the documentation as well. I believe that she is now in compliance with the educational requirements CEUs, and I make a motion that the board take no further action. I guess that's what we do, but we accept her documentation as being in compliance.
Thank you, Dr. Flowers. We have a motion to accept and go
second,
for the thank you. We got a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Is there any opposed? Hearing none, I want to quickly move to 13, which is a very similar matter in regards to Dr. Ralph Earl. Ms. Poe, could you give an update?
Yes, Madam Chair and members of the board. The Continuing Education Committee reviewed Dr. Earl's CE audit materials and issued a letter stating the deficiencies noted and the options to remedy the deficiencies. Due to an error, Dr. Earl never received this notice, and thus his materials were not received by the board office in time for the committee to review them at the last meeting held on March 24th. Dr. Earl has submitted additional CE documentation for board member review now. Board staff is requesting direction from the board on whether or not Dr. Earl meets the continuing education requirements for this audit. It is noted that in his last license renewal application submitted February of 2020, this year for his April 30th expiration date, Dr. Earl did attest to completing 63 hours of CE for the current cycle. His requirement for this cycle is only 40 hours. So if the board feels there are still deficiencies in the new materials he has submitted for the audit, Dr. Earl would like the opportunity to submit documentation for the excess CE already completed in lieu of completing new CE courses. I don't believe Dr. Earl was going to be calling in.
No, I
Excuse me, I am, just so you'll know, okay. I am on the line.
Thank you, Dr. Earle. So Dr. Earle is on the phone if committee members have or board members have any questions. All documentation has been provided for your review, and that concludes my summary of the case.
Thank you. Is there any comments from the board members?
Yes, Dr. Chair, go ahead.
Dr.
Go
Flowers?
Ahead,
yes,
Dr.
Yes, I did review the documentation. On this one, I don't believe that he is in compliance, at least so far. But looking at the actual reporting period that he's supposed to be in compliance with, it was 1st of May of 2017 to the 30th of April of 2018, needing 20 hours, including 2 hours domestic violence, 2 hours ethics. Looking at the documentation, I could only find 5.5 hours to the count, 1.5 hours domestic violence, 3 hours of ethics, and then 1 hour of general, total of 5.5. The previous cycle that can be rolled over if there's stuff available, I counted 44.75 hours that were countable. And so 4.75 hours could be carried over. And then he asks that if that is not acceptable or not enough, that a court completed in the year 2018 be countable. It would be it was November of 2018. He completed a 15-hour course. But that was in a different renewal cycle after the renewal cycle in question, and that one could not be rolled over. In addition, it was part of his most recent cycle. And so looking at it, to me, it appears that he would need to complete 9.75 more hours, including a half an hour in domestic violence, and he would have until the 1st of July to complete that.
So he'd need 9.75 more hours and half of that in domestic, or?
Well, just 0.5 hours. So I guess if you find a 1 hour DV course, I've never seen a 30-minute one, but I guess that would suffice as well.
Okay. Dr. Malott, you had a comment? I'm sorry, Dr. Flowers, are you done?
That was pretty well it on my comment.
I think our review, and I appreciate that because it was difficult to follow.
What he did too, rather he did calendar year rather than the recycle, not the different renewal cycles. And so it took a while to decipher it all, and then some of what he wanted to be included, we didn't have documentation that he completed a chapter in the book and so forth. But, you know, kind of the bottom line is, you know, he does have till July 1st. If he can give us 9.75 more hours and half an hour domestic violence within that, then he will still be in compliance.
So are we okay with, I guess, Ms. Galvin, would we then put this, would we table this until the next meeting to see if he complies with that? Or because for the July 1st date?
Yes, I would ask that a letter be presented to Dr. Earle outlining what is still required, and then it can come back to the board after that information is received by staff.
Yes, Madam Chair, one issue that happened was the notice was sent to the wrong address for Dr. Earle, which is why he still has time to comply. Otherwise, those 90 days would have been over a long time ago. But the clock started again when we sent in the notice to the correct address. So that's why it has until July 1st.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, Ms. Galvin, do we need a vote to table, or can I just table?
You can just go ahead and table.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and table, but Dr. Earle, I just want to impress upon you how important the continuing education credits are. and that the documentation must be readily available and show exactly how you met the requirements of the state law. So we're going to table this. We'll bring it back on in our July meeting. And between now and then, please provide all documentation, updated up documentation to our staff. Thank you. Let's move now back to item number 7, which is discussion, consideration, and possible action relating to the Committee on Behavior Analyst recommendations regarding the following complaint. The board may go into executive session on any items on the agenda pursuant to ARS 38431.03A2 to review confidential records, including the receipt and discussion of information or testimony that is confidential by state law and or ARS 38431.03A3 to receive confidential legal advice from the board's attorney. It is now 8:54, according to my watch, and we're going to move to this item number 7A, which involves a complaint review by the Committee of Behavioral Analysts and their recommendation to the board. Dr. Davey, would you like to provide a brief summary?
Madam Chair,
thank you, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, I recuse from this matter.
Okay, thank you. So we'll note that in the record. Thank you. Dr. Davies?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Peterson has been a board certified behavior analyst since 2016. She has began employment with a program called Big Breakthrough Academy during July of 2019. In January of 2020, a complaint was received by the board leveling a charge against Ms. Peterson, as well as the owner of the academy, who is an unlicensed individual. And the complaint was really around alleging that Ms. Peterson, and we'll focus on the fact that she's the licensee here, failed to take action when it came to her attention that an individual, an employee of the school, had hit or struck a student. The Committee of Behavior Analysts reviewed just about 100 pages of information provided by the parties. Upon conclusion and interviewing those that were involved, it became clear that Ms. Peterson was not privy to the information firsthand, heard of the information thirdhand, did review that information with her supervisors. Supervisors then went on to believe that they were going to handle it. Supervisors did not handle it, and Ms. Peterson went back contemporaneously and reached out to authorities with regard to it. The matter never came any further with whether there was a hit. There was some saying that was actually blocking of some individual spitting at someone, so there's really no evidence to that. It's currently under investigation by the police department. We don't have any further information with regard to that. However, the evidence that was provided to the Committee on Behavior Analysts led the committee to unanimously put forth a recommendation to dismiss this, and that is now in front of the board. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Dr. Peterson, are you on the line? I'm sorry, Ms. Peterson, are you on the line?
This is Ms. Peterson's attorney, Tricia Schaefer. I do know that Ms. Peterson is on the line. She may be accidentally muted, so if we could pause for just a moment.
All right. Just unmute your phone. I know it happens to me all the time.
She is present. I know she's present because we just established that with each other a few minutes ago, so I'm not sure about the...
All right. Ms.
What happened here?
Ms. Peterson?
She's muted, I see. I don't know why.
Maybe all right, would you...
Now, can you hear me?
There we go.
Can you hear me now?
Okay.
Yes.
All right. I'm
so
here.
All right, Ms. Peterson, I don't know if you or you'd like your attorney, if you have any comments to make, it's optional.
I don't really have any comments. I think if the board has any questions for me, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you. And do board members, do you have any questions?
for Ms. Peterson? All right, hearing none, thank you, Ms. Peterson, for attending today. The board's now going to deliberate. Dr. Davies, would you like to start the discussion or make a motion?
Ms. Shreve, this is Jean Galvin. Can we make sure that her attorney, Tricia Schaefer, doesn't have any comments she would like to make before the board deliberates?
Thank you. Ms. Shaver, do you have any comments?
I don't, but I appreciate being asked. Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah, our attorney keeps us in line here. She's good at that. All right. So with that, Dr. Davies, would you like to start the discussion or make the motion?
I'll go ahead and make the motion that this complaint is dismissed.
Dr. Bob, right, I second it.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries.
One recusal.
And one recusal, thank you. One recusal. See, I told you she keeps it straight. All right.
May Ms. Peterson and I be excused from the remainder of the meeting?
Yes. Thank you for joining us. We do appreciate that. It's good to have you here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. So my computer says it's 9:01, so I'm going to move on to our timed item. We're not for 9 o'clock. Item number 8, discussion, consideration, and possible action related to the proposed interim consent agreement and order for practice restrictions signed by Dr. Austin McCall in case 2042 or other administrative remedies. It's now 9:02, and we're moving to this agenda item. Ms. Michelson, would you please provide a summary?
Yes, Madam Chair and board members. Dr. McCall was issued her psychologist license in December of 2019. On April 22nd of this year, the Arizona Psychological Association forwarded information to board staff that it had received from a third party, which alleged that Dr. McCall had a recent history of illicit substance use. The information received could demonstrate that Dr. McCall may have a health condition that has the potential to place patients and the public at risk. The specifics are which are contained in the investigative memo that I prepared for the board. After receiving this information the following day on April 23rd, the executive director and I contacted Dr. McCall regarding the information received and requested that she voluntarily submit to certain tests on the same date, which she agreed to and did complete those tests on the same date. Based on the results of the testing, the executive director and I subsequently contacted Dr. McCall to discuss the option of her entering into an interim consent agreement and order for evaluation and practice restriction, which would restrict Dr. McCall from practicing under her psychologist license until she completes an evaluation with a pre-approved provider and that the board determines that she is safe to practice psychology with or without certain limitations. Dr. McCall indicated that she would be willing to propose the interim consent agreement as indicated by staff. After we sent that interim consent agreement to Dr. McCall for review, board staff was notified that she had obtained legal representation for this matter. The attorney subsequently requested various changes to that proposed interim consent agreement. And on May 5th, board staff has sent an updated agreement for their review that incorporated most of the requested changes based on what staff felt the board would be in agreement with today. On May 6th, the board office did receive the signed agreement from Dr. McCall, which is presented to the board today for review and possible approval. If that is approved, this matter will be brought back to the board at a future meeting date for review once the evaluation report is received and the investigation is complete. I do want to note that Dr. McCall's attorney relayed to me that Dr. McCall has already scheduled an appointment to complete the evaluation with one of the listers provided in the agreement, and that appointment is currently scheduled for Monday, May 25th. Dr. McCall and her attorney are present and would like to address the board. As a reminder, if the board has any questions for her regarding the medical records that I supplied the board with yesterday, or any health conditions or treatment, that discussion will need to take place in executive session. And this concludes my summary of the matter. Please let me know if there are any questions.
Hi, can you hear me?
Did we lose Ms. Shreve?
hang on, Dr. McCall. Krishna, is there any way to see if Ms. Shreve is still on the line?
Let me take a look here.
I see her, but... There she is. Ms. Shreve, did your audio drop?
I have
Sam, a I'm on
phone
mute.
Icon okay. Okay.
All right. Dr. McCall, are you on the phone?
I believe Dr. McCall was on the
can
phone.
Can you hear me? I'm here.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. McCall. And then is your attorney also on the line with us?
Can you hear me? I am here.
All right. Could you introduce yourselves, please, for the record?
Sure. This is Tammy Thibodeau, counsel for Dr. McCall.
Great. Dr. McCall, would you or your counsel like to make any a statement?
I can. I wanted to update the date of the evaluation. Originally, it was May 25th, even though that was Memorial Day, and it was confirmed. The doctor's office that is doing the evaluation called, and it's now scheduled on May 28th at 2 p.m.
Thank you.
Sure. And we don't have any other statements to make unless there's some questions.
All right. Thank you so much. Board members, is there any discussion or is there a motion in regards to the consent decree?
Except Madam Chair.
Yes, Dr. Flowers.
Yes, I make a motion that the proposed consent agreement be approved.
Thank you. We have a motion to approve the agreement. Is there a second?
Second.
All second. All right. I didn't. Who said it? I didn't get the voice.
I believe that was Dr. Davis Wilson.
Dr. Davis Wilson, that was you?
Yes, I was one of those.
All right. Thank you. All right. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Ms. Creepy, we do need a roll call.
Okay. Is there any discussion before we have a roll call vote? All right. If not, Ms. Poe, if you could do a roll call vote, please.
Yes, Madam Chair. Ms. Creepy?
Yes.
Dr. Davis Wilson?
Yes.
Dr. Flowers?
Yes.
Dr. Bohansky?
Yes.
Dr. Davey?
Yes.
Mr. Dinar?
Yes.
Dr. Gill?
Yes.
Dr. Meyer?
Yes.
Dr. Malott?
Yes.
The motion is unanimous. Motion carries.
Thank you. Thank you both for joining us today. Our next item is not till 9:15, so I am going to move to item number 14, discussion consideration and possible action regarding renewal of applications by Luz McGrover Joe. Ms. Poe, would you provide a summary of the matter?
Yes, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, members of the board, on March 24th, 2020, the board office received Dr. Mogrovejo's 2020 psychologist application for license renewal, which was submitted via the online portal. Board staff reviewed and approved her license renewal. On March 31st, so about a week later, board staff received an email from Dr. Mogrovejo wherein she stated that she had difficulties using the online e-licensing system and needed to make some corrections to her renewal application, including uploading additional documentation relating to question number 15 of the renewal, which asks if you have been sued or prosecuted relating to your work as a psychologist. Dr. Mogrovejo stated that she needed to change her answer to yes, and explained that she is being sued and the case relates to complaint number 17-16, which was dismissed previously by this board. She provided a copy of the complaint, which is pending in Superior Court. The allegations appear to be identical to the case the board heard and dismissed, complaint number 17-16. Board staff has already approved Dr. Mogrovejo's license renewal when this information was received. Board staff is just requesting direction from the board on how to proceed. And I do not believe Dr. Mogrovejo was going to be available to call in, but that concludes my summary of the case.
Thank you, Ms. So. I just want to confirm, is the licensee on the line?
I do not believe she was going to call in. Okay. Dr. Mogrovejo, did you call in?
I just want to confirm that and give her a chance to speak up if she wants to. All right, so this is so it appears that the lawsuit is in regards to a complaint that the board reviewed in 17-16, the complaint that was dismissed. What is the board members, any comments or thoughts on this? Is there any concerns with the application or with the situation? Are we all on mute or any thoughts? Are we approving the,
is this Dr. Malach?
Yes.
I mean, this is a case that we have reviewed. I think we need to go ahead and approve her renewal while, you know, the work continues. So because the complaint number 1716 was dismissed by the board. And then,
Dr. Malott and members of the board, I did already process her license renewal because I did not receive this information until a week after she had submitted it. But board staff felt the board still needed to opine on the situation.
So this is just for our information, unless we want to, I guess, go back and do something with the license that I guess is already granted, or can we ask her in the letter that to, if, you know, let us know what happens with the lawsuit if they end up getting, if she ends up somehow sanctioned with the lawsuit, would that be appropriate?
This is Jean Galvin. So one of your options would be to just take no action on this matter today and request that she keep you informed with respect to the outcome of the lawsuit, or if you feel that it was inappropriate the way she completed her application because she answered no to that question, only to revise that answer a week later, you may want to open a complaint based on that. If you do open a complaint, it's not necessarily to go back and reconsider your decision in case 1716, but rather whether you want to investigate or you have concerns about the way she answered the question on her renewal application.
Well, I guess from my perspective, she did call back late, you know, a week later and let us know that she made a mistake. I don't know, what is everybody's thoughts in regards to that?
Madam Chair and members of the board, board staff will admit that our online e-licensing system is not the most user-friendly, and it can be difficult to navigate through the questions, and even more difficult to upload documents into the portal, which was what Dr. Mogrovejo had stated was the issue.
Thank you, Ms. Ho, for letting me say that.
Yeah, I really think what Ms. Galvin mentioned earlier, she can keep us posted on the lawsuit. You know, she's obviously reflecting on her responses, and, you know, because the complaint was heard by the board and dismissed, we've had this happen before where people, like, well, they said the board knows about this, they dismissed it, and so... So I think just taking no action, I want to make a motion that we take no action and that you keep us informed.
All right. Is there a second?
Seconded.
I'd second that. Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. And checking my clock here, our next one's a timed item. We still have a few minutes. Let's move to item 12, which is discussion, consideration, and possible action concerning granting executive director authority to enter into certain agreements. I think this will be for Mary Dallas, who's not had too long. I'm executive director. Would you like to provide an update?
Yes, Madam Chair. It will be my practice whenever the board is presented with a legal agreement to bring those agreements to this board for review and approval. There are two before you today. Number A references an agreement with ASPPB to establish ASPPB as our reporting agent for reporting adverse actions to the National Disciplinary Data Bank. This is stipulated, in fact, by the compact language in our statute that has been adopted several months ago, last year, I believe. So it's already in statute. This is a common practice for an association of regulatory boards to be a reporting conduit to the National Database on behalf of their member boards. And in doing so, they capture important data for purposes of sharing that data with the other jurisdictions. So that is the request for that agreement for proof.
All right. And do you need a motion from us to allow us to, for this?
Yes.
Or this information?
Yes.
Dr. Bob, I would move that we approve the action of reporting using ASPPB as the reporting conduit for National Practitioner Data Bank.
Thank you. We have a motion. Is there a second?
Yes, sir.
Dr. Gill, is that you?
Yes.
All right. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Everybody off mute? And any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. Executive Director, item B.
Yes, Madam Chair. The second agreement for your review and approval is specific to engaging with a vendor called NST Solutions. This vendor is prepared to provide us with the services of a business analyst. So this analyst can delve into our e-licensing system and identify the deficiencies where our development and implementation was less than successful. As this board knows, initial applications are not being accepted through the e-licensing portal. Those were removed about a year ago because they weren't working properly. So I've been working with Asset, the strategic enterprise division of ADOA, the IT division, to come up with a solution to remedy this problem. We're very invested in terms of time and money into the system. And so we're pursuing a solution that's very similar to that which the Registrar of Contractors implemented when their rollout was unsuccessful. So I'm confident that this is the best option, the best pathway for us to move forward so we can effectively reform and use the portal.
This is Jean Gallup. Ms. Peckinon, the only question I have, I'm sure you are in compliance with the procurement code and requirements.
Yes, Madam Chair, Ms. Galvin, I have worked with the State Procurement Office, to obtain approval, which wasn't an easy achievement at this time, but we did achieve that approval to go specifically to this vendor.
Okay, thank you. All right, and then you're looking for an approval for us to move forward?
To authorize the executive director to enter into an agreement with MST Solutions on the behalf of the board.
All right, thank you. Is there a motion? What Ms. Galvin just
discussion.
Said? A discussion?
Yeah. Are all boards required to use this e-licensing tool?
Madam Chair, Dr. Bohansky, no, we are not required. there are boards using various systems that they have, you know, either it's their legacy system, they've used it for some time and they haven't moved into a cloud-based system. Other boards, particularly those with more ample resources than us, they've been able to purchase or develop customized systems. I haven't researched alternatives because of the fact that we are invested in this system. I will say that if we, you know, if that's the direction the board wants to go, I'm prepared to go in that direction as well. But that would be an effort that would, you know, be some months in the making.
And I guess this is purchase of the software package made by our board and the software package doesn't meet our needs.
Dr. Bryhansky, it's hard to hear you. Can you just, can you speak a little louder and better on the mic?
I'll try raising my phone. Does that work?
That's Yes. Perfect. Thank you, sir.
I guess I was under the impression that this was a state purchased software package that we were required to use. Is there someone else in the state who's using this package in which this company's been able to fix it?
Yes, Dr. Bohansky. This is still an optional system. It is one that is strongly encouraged by the governor and by the by assets, by the IT division of ADOA. There are currently 13 boards that are using this software, and so that's clearly not all boards, not all agents, licensing agencies using that system. I understand that board elected to go in that direction to participate with these 13 or other 12 boards because they saw the advantages in doing so. Again, we know that it's been less successful in terms of the development and the rollout. What we have found is that we have struggled at times to get dedicated resources to address our needs, and so the only solution to try to salvage continued use of this system is for us to invest into, you know, this specific effort, which presumably would be followed by a development effort to make the modifications to the system that our specific board needs.
Yeah, I guess my concern is throwing good money after bad, having messed with and been burned by several electronic health record systems, and knowing your promise to the world is you go to implement them and they simply don't meet the needs. If other boards, if 13 other boards and Department of Administration and the governor's office is recommending this group and this product, I guess I'm at a loss as to why we need a third party vendor. Why is not the state putting pressure on the original vendor here to fix their package so that we can all get it to work for the public?
Yes, Dr. Bohansky, I think what you're questioning, the issues that you're identifying are entirely fair and have been, you know, they're well recognized among this group that, you know, remains to try to make the system continue to function. The original vendor is no longer associated by contract with the system, and so we're really left to the devices of the Department of Administration's asset division to try to address the system needs. So if any board has a development need, they have to figure out going forward how to fund that, how to secure the resources. So it's not the most ideal arrangement. I will agree. I don't know that there is, you know, an obvious alternative at this time in the absence of, you know, researching what other strategies we might pursue. I am recommending this one because one other state agency found it to be the solution that best met their needs. So I would be working with the same team that fixed the system for the registrar of contractors. So that is the best, you know, in terms of precedent, that's the best strategy that that I've been able to identify so far.
Okay, I guess my thought was to share the cost of the fix across the 13 boards so that we can all benefit from the same consultation and have the fix work for all of us. But if Register of Contractors got it fixed, then they're huge in terms of what they have to process. I'm sure that our little number of applicants will be a much easier fix for them. It is frustrating that the original vendor is gone. It's frustrating that we're sharing this with 12 other boards, and we should have a common solution and share costs to make it more efficient for the state and for Department of Administration. But if we're past that point and we're just needing to fix ours and we got somebody that knows how the damn thing works, let's get them on board and fix it.
All right. So is that a motion? I believe we have a motion.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. That's we got a motion. A motion, and we do a second?
This is Dr. Gill. I just have a quick question. Is this just
yes,
for
Dr.
one
Gill.
Year? Is this a kind of an annual contract, or is this beyond 1 year, or how does this work?
Yes, thank you, Dr. Gill, for posing the question. It is just a time-specific, one-time contract. In point of fact, we need to complete this work before June 30th because we do have the dollars for this project in our appropriation at this time. So I pushed the vendor to make the resources available should the board decide to move forward. We need those resources to start as early as next week. So we have the blueprint and the development roadmap by June 30th, and then we can ascertain how to move forward and what that will cost in 2021 when we have, again, appropriation dollars to work with.
Would it be appropriate for them to speak before the board regarding their services, and so that we're all kind of on a little more aware of what they're up to and what we can gain from our relationship with them?
Dr. Bohansky here. If we've got it moving by June 1st, we're on a timeline. This is probably something the board should have paid attention to earlier. It looks like if we're going to expend dedicated monies and we've got to get moving quickly on it, I would encourage us to get moving quickly on it so we don't lose those funds.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and it's entirely likely this group would be happy to do a presentation to this board at some point. They may be finished in time for your June meeting just to provide an overview of their assessment of the system deficiencies, and the plan to move forward, presumably in 2021. So I can ask that group, and I think that they would be agreeable to do that.
That sounds great.
All right, so are we, I think we had a motion and a second, is that correct? Are we ready to go, any other discussion? So all in favor to approve the most of the contract, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. We're going to move to item number 9, which is a timed item. The time now is 9:27, and this is item number 9, discussion consideration of possible action related to initial case review. I want to remind the board members the purpose of the initial review is for the board to determine whether there may be a violation of rule or statute. The board is not conducting a formal interview. This is strictly just an initial review. The board may vote to go into executive session on any item on the agenda pursuant to ARS 38431.0382 or review confidential records or ARS 38431.0383 to receive confidential legal advice from our board's attorney. The complaint we will address
under this agenda item is complaint number 2028 pertaining to Dr. Nicole Huggins. Are there any board members who are recusing from this case? All right, hearing none. Dr. Flowers, you're the lead board member. Would you provide a brief factual overview of the case?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. In this complaint, Celeste is a complainant. Her son was participating in a court diversion program and was shot from it in May 2019 for failing a random urine drug screening. LS thought that possibly a learning disability might explain her son's difficulties at school, and Trilogy Psychological Services was seen as a possible resource for providing such an evaluation. Dr. Huggins told the stepfather that this type of evaluation would cost $2,200, which would include substance abuse testing. The son was given an evaluation at Trilogy on September the 19th, 2019. It was not court ordered. The son was subsequently provided counseling services from Dr. Hancock, who was a postdoctoral resident who worked for Dr. Huggins. On January the 10th, 2020, LS filed a complaint alleging that the first son's evaluation was not provided in a timely manner, and that it was unclear if Dr. Hancock or Dr. Huggins did the testing. She also complained of errors in the report. In response, Dr. Huggins said that in addition to being a licensed Arizona psychologist, she also maintains an active school psychologist certification with the Arizona Department of Education. She said that the complaint stems from the mother of an adolescent male who Dr. Huggins evaluated. The evaluation was sent to be presented, was to be presented to the court regarding the son's case and potential treatment recommendations in lieu of formal prosecution. Dr. Huggins believes that the complaint allegations are unfounded and directly refuted as evidenced in the documentation provided. Dr. Huggins asked that the complaint be dismissed. At the March 18th CSC meeting, there were concerns regarding the timeliness of the completing of the report, errors and inconsistencies within the report, and miscommunication and misunderstanding by the complainant. The role of students did not appear to be adequately explained, and the informed consent did not specify that students would be involved in the evaluation and what their role would be. And so the complaint was forwarded to the board for initial review for possible violations of ARS 32-2061-16H for failing, refusing to maintain and retain adequate business, financial, or professional records pertaining to the psychological services provided to a client or patient, and ARS 32-2061-16DD for violating an ethical standard adopted by the board. And it pertains, my throat's kind of dry suddenly. Anyway, for possibly violating an ethical standard adopted by the board as it pertains to Section 3.10, informed consent of the American Psychological Association's Ethical Principles of Psychologists and Code of Conduct. And this concludes my summary of the complaint.
Thank you for that. Ms. Poe, do we have any requests to speak?
Madam Chair, this is Ms. Michelson. I do believe that the complainant's husband, J.M., is on the line, as well as Dr. Huggins.
Thank you. J.M., are you on the line? If you're on mute, if you could take, remove yourself from mute. J.M.? All right. One more time, if you're on mute, if you could take it off mute.
All right, I'm going to move then to Dr. Huggins. Are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
All right, Dr. Huggins, are you represented by anybody today? Or
no, I'm not.
An attorney? Okay, that's fine. I just want to make sure we get recognized also. Okay, Dr. Huggins, would you like to make a few statements?
I just wanted to thank you again for the opportunity to make the statement that I hope that after a review of the documentation that was provided and some additional documentation that I have been finally able to obtain since the screening committee meeting even, that I can hopefully answer any additional questions that you might have and or specific to some of the items that were in the review. I do have that refuting documentation. I just honestly wasn't sure if I could provide another response prior to this meeting. But thank you, and I'm hoping that this will get dismissed as it is unrefuted and unfounded.
All right, thank you for your comments. Members of the committee, do you have questions for Dr. Huggins?
Yes, Madam Chairman, I have several.
Dr. Flowers, please go ahead.
Yes, and some of these were also brought up in the complaint screening committee, but of course the whole board was not present. There are just some kind of questions here that I have. It appears that there are indeed some errors in the report. One of them said that the date of the testing was September the 9th, but the informed consent was signed on September the 17th. As I recall, the actual date of the test evaluation was 19th. And the informed consent is for the board members' review. It's on pages 76-81. The informed consent doesn't say anything about the doctoral student's involvement in the evaluation. And then also lastly, the signature page of the final evaluation only has Dr. Huggins' signature and not the student's. And Dr. Hancock's signature is not on there. So it was unclear how the people were involved and not people, but how the students were involved and how and if the complainant and family were told about the role of the students. Do you have any comments on those issues?
Yes, I do. That is actually one of the pieces of documentation that I've been able to locate. An email was sent on September 11th at 11:05 a.m. to both Ms. Salas, or LS, and her husband. It's our typical intake email, what we call it, in which I send the developmental history and all of the intake paperwork so that they have the option to fill it out prior to the scheduled session, or they can do it at the time of the meeting. In that email, it specifically states Dr. Huggins and doctoral students will be working with NOAA throughout the evaluation. It's also stated that, and so they had received that intake paperwork up front, so it was completed and signed by them, because stepfather brought the child to the testing. So it is completed and signed by them on the 17th. The evaluation, yes, did in fact occur on the 19th. However, that is a typo on the first page of the report, but I thought I had corrected. But that in the emails that were subsequent to their receipt of the report, that was one of the errors that was not pointed out to me. And so that is a complete oversight on my part, and I think it's just a straight typo. But he was evaluated on the 19th. Stepfather was informed during our phone call what the evaluation would entail, but then also, again, like I said, I have now in front of me this email that I've located that it does state specifically in there that doctoral students and myself would be working with him throughout the evaluation, and that Ms. Hancock involved as discussed on the phone with stepdad on 9/10 was going to be a completely separate service from mine and as the role of therapist. And another set of consent paperwork is in that file. However, due to the circumstances that have occurred since then and the open legal case against her, that file has disappeared from my offices, along with the electronic file that I finally was also able to get access to only yesterday. They're working with this company for 4 months.
Okay, I'm wondering, too, about the participation of the practicum students in the informed consent. I didn't say anything about that, and I did see an email message, I think, from office manager to LM, or maybe the, you know, her husband, saying there would be doctoral students involved, but I'm wondering how else that was explained, and how they would be involved in it, and also wondering how it is they didn't sign the final report.
That's explained in person. When he showed up on the day of testing, it was explained to both the child and the stepfather when brought in that day. They were introduced to the students in the lobby. It was explained that the students would go back with the child and begin the testing while I went through the intake packet and the developmental history with the dad and explained, you know, approximate time frames, and then he was free to leave the child if he felt comfortable with that, and he did. He ended up leaving the child and going to work and then coming back and picking him up when he was done. The final report wasn't signed by the students only due to a time constraint, because I was trying to get it out in a timely manner. The email in which I sent the initial report to her stated a signed copy would go in the mail, and then I also provided copies to the students for their files for their schoolwork. But that role was, the role specifically about the students' involvement was explained as they were introduced to Dad upon introduction on the day of testing.
Okay, and I wonder, too, yeah, I think we talked again about this in the Complaint Training Committee about, you know, the 2 month delay between the time of the evaluation and the actual production of the report.
It was approximately, oh, sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
It was approximately a 5 week time frame between the day of testing and the final report, but that's also because additional collateral information had been provided to me after the day of testing, and part of that included some behavior rating scales that were completed by the parents that weren't completed until the 23rd of September and then provided to me on the 25th when they came in for their initial intake for the therapy side services. And the email also states back to the parents on the 26th, on the 25th, that and then the additional intake packet that would be separate, duplicated and completed by them would need be needed for the therapy file.
Okay, and then one additional question on that. Within the report, it says that there was a clinical interview with the son and with the parents, and I'm wondering how that was done. Because, you know, in my mind, I think of them all three coming in together, but yeah. I think maybe it was different from that.
Yes. I do, because of the child's age, I do give an adolescent the opportunity to be interviewed separate and away from the parents, because oftentimes they may or want to provide information that either the parents don't know, but it is informed that it's going in a report, which is why she did have some concerns about some of the information in it subsequent to her receipt of the final report. But it was also explained in my responses to her that this is what the child's reporting, it's relevant, and I'm not going to alter it. But the stepfather was, during our phone call on the 10th, in which time he had tentatively scheduled the appointment, but then subsequently called back and confirmed it. I had gathered a great deal of information from him, and then I had informed him that once mom fills out the developmental history, if I had any additional questions, I'll speak to her, in which I did in person on 9/25 when they had come in for their first intake appointment for therapy. and I explained to her that I reviewed the developmental history, just confirmed a few things, but didn't have any additional questions, and gave her the opportunity to provide information, additional information, if things had come up between the times of our points of contact, and nothing additional was provided.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Those are all my questions at this time. Wonder if other board members have questions as well.
Thank you, Dr. Farr. Are there other questions from board members? All right. Hearing none, I'd like to thank Dr. Huggins for participating today. We're going to now move into deliberations. Is there, Dr. Flowers, you're the lead. Would you like to start? And again, just a reminder that this is an initial review.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chairman. I thought my voice was going to give out again, but it looks like it's going to work. But my comments on this complaint is that there could have been better clarity regarding the roles of the students' participation in the evaluation. Also, a timelier response in regards to making a report available would have been much better. There were also some errors in the report, and many of them were corrected in the final version. In spite of these issues, I don't feel that what occurred reached the threshold for being a statutory violation, and I make a motion that the complaint be dismissed as there is no evidence of violation of statute.
Thank you, Dr. Flowers. Other board members, any comments?
Dr. Bob? The role of students in a practice concerns me greatly. Producing reports in which the testing is accomplished by students, or in which an interview is accomplished by students, and their name is not on that report, concerns me. Both from a teaching standard as well as a reporting standard. I don't know that front office staff and the procedures that are noted with emails and what have you are the appropriate way to inform students' involvement. I think the standard is to have an actual written signed consent form in which the student's role is identified and the student supervisor is identified. I didn't have evidence of that. The second piece is that when the work product is finished, if the work product is partially based upon the student's testing, then it should be noted in that report it was based upon the student's testing. If the interpretation of the testing is not correlated with the interview which the doctor performed, but rather the interpretive pieces are written up by the student, then I think the student's signature needs to be on it, as noted as under supervision of. Were the hours spent testing encountered or billed as having been done by the psychologist while the student did it remains unclear. So there's a couple areas of there. Do they reach the statutory or rule violations? I think they hedge around some ethical issues. I would certainly like to see the doctor, and I appreciate her sharing her expertise and wisdom with students and taking the time and responsibility of their doing testing. But I'd sure like to show students and do it the right way. And I think the right way involves some better documentation of student involvement.
All right. So we do have a motion to dismiss. Thank you for your comments, Dr. Bohansky. Is there a second to the motion to dismiss? If not, it dies. Thank you. So we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor? Aye.
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 Any opposed? Same sign. All right, hearing none, the motion passes. Our next item is at 10 o'clock. It's a timed item. I would suggest, unless there's anyone disagreement, I'd like to just take a break so we could all kind of stand. What I'd ask is please don't hang up. I understand we just need to put our phones on mute while we take a break and leave your cameras going. Step away, stretch, grab some snack, and then we will be back right at 10 o'clock. All right?
Can I ask a quick question? This is Dr. Huggins.
Yes. Yes, Dr. Huggins.
Am I able to hang up or should I go on mute as well?
No, you can. You're done. Your case is completed. So thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
All right. We'll see everybody back here right before 10.